So last week we had a look at the history related to the battle on Jericho and Ai. Through the battle, Israel cut across the middle of the land of Canaan. And continuing on the chapter 9 is about the battles from the southern part of the Canaan, then northern part of the Canaan. So we have confirmed continually the battle in Canaan do not depend on the ability or the power of the Israel, but the faith and obedience according to the word of God. So including battle in the book of Joshua and the histories are related to the faith journey of the Christian today after their salvation. So we need to carefully meditate and read through. So the book of Joshua shows how to live in the mission field after knowing our true identity. So if you look it from the chapter 9, after wandering in the wilderness, then conquering the eastern part of Jordan River, crossing Jordan River, then conquering Jericho and Ai, as Israelites obeyed to the word of God regardless of the circumstances. This news was spread to the whole region of Canaan, made people frightened and scared. The news of the victory of Israelites spread to the western countries of the Jordan River, as you see in the screen. The countries who heard this news came together and joined the forces to fight against Joshua and the Israelites. So whilst the judgment of the God on those countries, they rebelled against God rather than repent. So, however, the Gibeonites were different. The Gibeonites, who were Hebites, one of the seven tribes of Canaan, but they were grouped and lived in the various region, and especially Gibeon was the leader of the Hebites, with many small castles around. It was a bigger city than Ai, and many people lived in. So they were frightened to hear the Israelite army did not leave any survivors in the battle of Jericho and Ai. The things you should remember the conquering war in Canaan, this battle was the judgment on Canaanites about their disobedience over 400 years since Abraham. The seven tribes in Canaan were the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. So it was like the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Israel became a tool for the judgment to the country in Canaan. So Gibeonites decided to deceive Israel, not to be perished. So they found the judgment is only for the seven tribes in Canaanite, not the other tribes in the distant region. So they pretended as if they came from distant region, not from the Canaan, then made a treaty with Israel by deception. When Gibeonites praised Israel and their miraculous journey from Egypt and victories in battle on the eastern side of the Jordan, Israel were deceived. So the praise someone is a good tool when it's used for good purpose, but praise can be the trap, make people not to be vigilant and alarmed. So in the past, Israel had a difficult life in Egypt and in the wilderness. But now, the Gibeonites praise the victory and the success of Israel. This praise makes Israel overconfident of themselves. And they became very careless, end up made a treaty of friendship. Once the the nation always in oppressed situation. Once they became powerful nation, they became overconfident of themselves. And they didn't even ask to the God. So that's the scripture actually record and mention about it on the verse 14. So if you look at verse 14, the Israelites accepted some food from them, but did not consult the Lord about it. So it clearly said they did not consult the Lord about it when they make a treaty of the friendship. And Joshua made a treaty of friendship with the people of Gibeon and allowed them to leave. The leaders of the community of Israel gave their solemn promise to keep the treaty. Based on the record of verse, it seems to point out there was a problem in Israel's behavior, not consulting to God about the decision. So, in verse 14, the Israelites accepted some food from them. Perhaps it was a food for army, which is most needed for war. But it seemed to be brought as a gift for treaty of friendship, which possibly deceived the leaders of Israel. The scripture said Israel did not consult Lord about it. If Joshua and leaders couldn't know what to do, they could use the method God taught them using Urim and the Thummim's judgment by the high priest, which is written in Exodus chapter 28, verse 28 to 30, and Leviticus chapter 8, verse 8. So Urim and Thummim is what high priest used for the judgment when they want to figure out which way is God want them to do. So if you see the screen, you can see the things on the palm of the high priest. So the Urim and Thummim method today is knowing Bible and its history in today's Christian life. Because the will of God is all in the Bible. In the past, they didn't have a Bible, so they used the Urim and Thummim to figure out the will of the God. But today, we know the will of God is all written in the Bible. So it's the Urim. We don't use the Urim and Thummim anymore to know God's will. And we just open up the Bible and read through. We know what the Bible tells us about. What is the will of your God? So there are many issues and cases not written in the Bible because it is written 4,000 years ago. For example, like a drug, smoking, euthanasia, abortion, genetic modification, and so on. However, if you know the intention from the law of God, even though there are no specific direction and instruction on every single case, we can figure out what should do and what you should not do. So Joshua and leader of Israel were inspired by the victory of Jericho and Ai, and they were deceived by the Gibeonites made a treaty. So without using the Urim and Thummim to ask the will of the God. So when they made a treaty, they just asked the opinion of the leaders, not the will of the God. So 3 days after the treaty had been made, the Israelites learned that these people did indeed live nearby. So the Israelites could not kill them because their leaders had made a solemn promise to them. in the name of the Lord Israel's God. So there are various interpretations and commentaries on these cases. This battle is to destroy completely all the seven tribes in the land of Canaan by the command of the God. Because it was the judgment of the seven tribes in the land of Canaan by God. But Joshua and the leaders, they didn't destroy the Gibeonites because they already made a treaty in the name of God. So is it right decision not to fight with Gibeonites because they made a treaty carelessly by the name of the Lord, even though they were deceived? Is the treaty still applicable? Cannot be canceled? How do you think? For the right decision, I think we have to carefully consider the purpose of the battle and the commandment of God. The treaty actually comes after the God's commandment, I think. Because the God's first commandment was to destroy the Canaanites who were so iniquity. So here I interpret God's commandment should come first, then their treaty. So even in the New Testament, Jesus said, do not even swear in the name of the God. Because in the past, the people made such a mistake, sworn to the God, even though it was wrong, and they just forget about the first commandment of the God. So God's commandment should come first, then the treaty or any promises of the human. So Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 1, it clearly says, the Lord your God will bring you into the land that you are going to occupy, and he will drive many nations out of it. As you advance, he will drive out seven nations larger and more powerful than you. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. When the Lord your God placed these people in your power and you defeat them, you must put them all to death. You must put them all to death. Do not make an alliance with them or show them any mercy. So here, clearly God commanded, you must put them all to death. Do not make an alliance with them or show them any mercy. Continue, do not marry any of them and do not let your children marry any of them, because then they would lead your children away from the Lord to worship other gods. If that happens, the Lord will be angry with you and destroy you at once. So if you continue look at the chapter 20, verse 10, when you go to attack a city, first give people a chance to surrender. If they open the gates and surrender, they are all to become your slaves and do forced labor for you. So it is clear for the battle in the land of Canaan with the seven tribes, and also from the other tribes out of the seven nations. So you're not allowed to live any life. They should completely destroy and put all them to the death in the land of the Canaan. But God is a little bit more generous for the other tribe in a distant, and he, as it written on chapter 10, says, give them a chance to surrender and give them a forced labor if they surrender. So that is how you are to deal with those cities that are far away from the land you will settle in. But when you capture the cities in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, kill everyone. Completely destroy all the people. The Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as the Lord ordered you to do. So based on this scripture, even though Israel made a treaty by deception of Gibeonites, they rather carry the commandment of God than keeping the treaty. The destroying the Canaanites completely, no treaty, no mercy on them, was the commandment of God, and it was the judgment on unrepented Canaanite sin. Above all, God warned Israel, the reason in verse 18, kill them, so that they will not make you sin against the Lord by teaching you to do all the disgusting things that they do in the worship of their gods. The culture and the tradition of the country and a nation, it has been developed over many years of practices. So it cannot be switched in a moment. The Canaanites have been worshipping idols over 400 years, since the time of Abraham. They even sacrificed their children as a culture and tradition. So this sinful culture planted in the Gibeonites, which deserved the judgment, cannot be removed and cancelled simply by making a treaty with Israel. So if you closely look at the story of Gibeon, they just plan to deceive the Israel to survive rather than repent their sin in front of the God. So if so, even though they made a treaty by deception, Israel seems better to destroy the Gibeonites. God is never generous in the judgment of sin. In the New Testament, God gave one and only Son, Jesus Christ, as an atonement of our sin. This is how seriously God deals with the sin. The treaty cannot be cancelled once it is made. I don't think so. The right attitude is fix up the things according to the will of God, I believe. Some people say the Hivites are another case of the Rahab, the prostitute in the Jericho. The case of the Rahab, the prostitute, is different from the Gibeonite in its intention. The treaty was made regardless of the will of God. I think it could be cancelled. The things that Joshua and Israelites were sworn by the name of God. So if they break the treaty of God, might punish them. They seem to do less care about the covenant than the commandment of God than they care on the treaty made to the people. We have similar cases in our lives. So when we find the decision is not the will of God, and we should repent and return back. But we often make an excuse rather repent and return back to God. So this mistake made by the Joshua and the leaders of the Israel, but the people actually wanted to obey to the word of God. Chapter 9 verse 26 said, Joshua, do not let people to kill the Gibeonites and make them to a slave for the Israelites. I think it was not easy to cancel the treaty. However, when you find a mistake, you better to fix it immediately. The society doesn't keep the justice and righteousness will be corrupted. We can see many examples in the news. We can see lots of news on TV, the political leaders, and they just hide and protect each other from the corruption. Like Achan's try to hide the Israelites, all judged by the God and bring the judgment of the God. And this society is following the same track as what Achan did. From the case of Gibeon, we need to learn the lesson how we fix up the mistake unintentionally made. So we should learn the biblical view on the incident. Because of the mistake of Joshua, could not conquer the land of Canaan completely. All the tribes, after they get the land allocated, any of them conquer the land completely. None of them conquer the land of the Canaan completely. Later, in the first King chapter 3, King Solomon made a similar mistake. For the result, nation is divided into two. As Joshua and his army made such a mistake when they were competent by victory, King Solomon made a fatal mistake when he was successfully succeeding his father, King David. Whilst he was building the Jerusalem temple and his palace, he had many arranged marriages with powerful countries around Israel for the alliance. So 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 1 said, Solomon made an alliance with the king of Egypt by marrying his daughter. He brought her to live in David's city until he had finished building his palace, the temple, and the wall around the Jerusalem. The reason Israel became the most powerful nation was because of the obedience of the King David, the father of Solomon, not because of the alliance with the powerful nation like Egypt. King Solomon tried to depend on his wisdom rather than faithful life. The consequence of such a behavior made a bitter fruit, such as idol worship, spiritual prostitution, and division of the country north and south. In the past, we just heard about the good thing about Solomon, his wisdom. But if we look at closely, he made such a mistake, fatal mistake. The consequence of Joshua and Israel's mistake is emerging at the end of the war in Canaan. Eventually, Israelites compromise in the conquering war, not fully completing mission. Moreover, this disobedience led Israel to the spiritual confusion of the judges period. The decision of Joshua and Solomon's political policy and of Israel to leave God and follow idols, and made the country divided and corrupted. So it can be easily overlooked if you do not have understanding of the covenant in the mountain Sinai. This is why we need to learn carefully the Leviticus and Deuteronomy, which enable us to figure out what is right or wrong, regardless their political position. The record of Gibeonite case gives a very important spiritual insight, living according to the will of God. This can be a good example to the church, should not compromise its mission. There are many temptations and persuasions in today's church to follow easier and more convenient way in its mission. If the church follows those convenience and easier way, number of attendants might grow fast and seems good in short period of time. But however, the consequence of such a compromised choice will lead to the disobedient period of judges and divided kingdom. Shamefully, in Korean Christian history, there are miraculous, it's like an explosion of the evangelism last 100 years. But when the prosperous theology came into the church, and it's totally church been corrupted today. All this political power and materialism already came into the Korean church today. Cannot find the word of God and will of God anymore. I hope you do not forget this fact. All the leaders and members should keep the mission as God's army in your mind, where you minister in the cell and the church. So chapter 1, the battle in the southern region. Chapter 10 is about the battle in the southern region, and the chapter 11 to 12, battle with northern kingdoms' joint forces. So battle in the southern region was caused by the Gibeonites, because all other Amorites, include Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, attacked Gibeon with joint forces. And Gibeon asked the help from the Israel. So after this battle, Joshua and his army conquered all the southern part of the Canaan. During the battle, more people died from the hail than the sword. Even the sun stayed over the Gibeon Valley 24 hours. Some people question whether it is scientifically possible or not. We all know God divided the Red Sea and Jordan River. For Him, nothing impossible. The most important thing is God Himself is fighting for Israel when they obey. Never before, never since, has there been a day like it, when the Lord obeyed a human being and the Lord fought on Israel's side, is written on chapter verse 14. So if you are living a life in which you obey God's word in any circumstances and environment, never forget that God Himself is fighting for you. Even if the enemies come together as a numerous number, such a crisis will be an opportunity to reverse. There will come one way and there will be to escape in seven ways. One of you will be able to fight 1,000 when we live by faith only. This is not my word, but this is what God promised. Let's live by the faith. So in the battle with the southern kingdom of Canaan, God keeps on showing us the battle is not depending on our power and ability, but the faith. So think about yourself. So whether you are in a battleship or in a cruise, so are you rowing to the goal is given from the God, or you just to play around? So the reason I offer the maps today is you don't need to remember every single map, but as I give you the better, I try to give you a better understanding about conquering of the land of Canaan. So if you look at the map, the chapter 11 is about the victory against the northern kingdom of Canaan, the king Jabin of Hazor and his allies came together to attack Israel. They came with all their soldiers and the army, with as many men as there are grains of sand on the seashore. They also had many horses and chariots. All of these kings joined forces and came together and set up camp at Merom Brook to fight against Israel. The Joseph's historian presumed 300,000 army around, but 10,000 horsemen and 20,000 of chariots, written in a commentary of the Matthew Henry. So in the eyes of man, it seems impossible for Israel to win the battle against such a numerous army. But God encouraged Joshua by saying, "Do not be afraid of them. By this time tomorrow, I will have killed all of them for Israel." So Joshua and all his men attacked them by surprise at Merom Brook. The Lord gave the Israelites victory over them. In the Battle of Canaan, if Israel had to attack all the region, and it would take a longer time and difficult. But however, the Canaanites made joint forces to attack Israel. It became an opportunity for Israel to destroy all at once. So chapter 12 listed all the kings defeated by the Moses and Joshua. This is a summarized over two chapters, but it is over 6 to 7 years of a story. So the key message is battle is not depending on the power of man, but the faith and the obedience. And today we'll finish here and continue in the following week. But it sounds very simple to fight in the battle with the faith, because we use the power of God, not our own. But what if we just get into the real world, in the real field? Is it that easy? Depending on the power of God and fight with the faith, is that easy? But probably today you'll learn what is the will of the God in the mission field, in the field where we are.